Jeremiah chapter 35. Shall we have a word of prayer as we begin? God our Father, as we open thy word, we confess that we are a poor and needy people, and that we need thee, Lord, in every way to help us. For without Christ we can do nothing, but in him we can do all things. So, Father, we thank you that thou hast given to us in Christ all sufficiency for all things. And we pray that as we open up this passage of thy word of God, that you would instruct us from it, convict us, draw us closer to yourself, that we might be more loyal servants of our Lord Jesus Christ in the days ahead. We thank you in his name. Amen. Our message this morning is on loyalty, based on this chapter in the book of Jeremiah. How loyal are you? How loyal are you to the living God and to the commandments which he has given to you? And how loyal are you to those in authority whom God has placed over you? By the way, before I get into this, just a reminder that our pastor is away. We sent him away for a special time with his wife. He's recently celebrated his 25th wedding anniversary. So we pulled a good one over on him. And he's doing well, and he should be back with us this week. And pray that the final leg of this trip would be a real blessing. They're now in Southern California. They'll be seeing Mrs. Parsons' family, and trust that God will bring him back to us refreshed and encouraged and with much to share with us. Jeremiah 35. This morning we're going to learn some lessons on loyalty from a family known as the Rechabites. And first of all, I want you to notice that God put this family to the test. He tested their loyalty. God did that. Now notice in verse 1, the word which came unto Jeremiah from the Lord. It was God that told Jeremiah to do what he was about to do. In the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah. Now, these were dark days. These were the days just prior to the judgment of God that would fall upon the southern kingdom of Judah. These were the days just prior to Nebuchadnezzar, who would come with his invading army. And he would come into the land of Judah and would come against the capital city of Jerusalem, would destroy both the city and the temple, the great Temple of Solomon, that beautiful structure, would be totally destroyed and burned in fire. Why? Because God's people were disobedient and disloyal to him. And God used the Babylonians to chasten his people. And those were the days, and God said to Jeremiah, verse 2, go unto the house of the Rechabites, and speak unto them, and bring them into the house of the Lord, into Solomon's magnificent temple, into one of the chambers, one of the rooms in this temple, and give them wine to drink. Verse 3, then I took Jezaniah, the son of Jeremiah. Now, that first name, he apparently was the head of these Rechabites. He's the son of Jeremiah. That's not to be confused with the prophet. That's another man who belonged to this clan of the Rechabites. The son of Habazziniah and his brethren and all his sons and the whole house of the Rechabites. And I brought them into the house of the Lord, into the chamber of the sons of Hanan, the son of Igdaliah, a man of God, which was by the chamber of the princes, which was above the chamber of Maaseiah, the son of Shallum, the keeper of the door. And I set before the sons of the house of the Rechabites pots full of wine and cups. And I said unto them, drink ye wine. Now again, notice that God instructed Jeremiah to do these things. God was testing the loyalty of this family. And I want you to picture the scene in your mind. Jeremiah brings this family, who at this time were in the city of Jerusalem, and he brings them to the great temple of Solomon, the house of the Lord, and he finds an appropriate chamber in this temple. They had rooms for storage and rooms for meeting, and he found an appropriate room. And in this room, apparently, was a table. And this clan, these Rechabites, were assembled there and gathered around the table. And Jeremiah sets before them, verse 5, these pots. Not just one pot, but these pots, many pots, full of wine. Loaded with wine. Not only pots set before them, but cups. Everything they needed. And then he says, drink. God's prophet standing before this group, this family, he says, drink ye wine. Everything's ready. The wine is set before you. Be my guest. I invite you to drink. God was testing their loyalty. Now, did they pass or flunk this test? Verse 6. But they said, now notice, not just one answered, but they were united and together, almost in unison, they said, we will drink no wine. Why? For Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, saying, ye shall drink no wine. Neither ye nor your sons forever. Neither shall ye build house or sow seed, nor plant vineyard, nor have any, but all your days ye shall dwell in tents. They were to live a nomadic life, dwelling in tents, no permanent residence, that you may live many days in the land where ye be what? Strangers. Thus we have obeyed the voice of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, in all that he has charged us, to drink no wine all our days, we, our wives, our sons, nor our daughters, nor to build houses for us to dwell in. Neither have we vineyard, nor field, nor seed, but we have dwelt in tents and have obeyed and done according to all that Jonadab our father commanded us. But it came to pass when Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up into the land, that we said, come, let us go to Jerusalem for fear of the army of the Chaldeans and for fear of the army of the Syrians. So we dwell at Jerusalem. Who was this man, Jonadab? Who was this man that they had so faithfully obeyed? Who was this man that had given them these commandments? You'll notice in verse 6, it says, Jonadab, our father. Now you need to understand that when they said our father, they did not mean their immediate father. They meant our forefather, The Hebrew terms are often used that way. For example, the word son is similar in its usage. Christ Jesus is called in the Bible the son of David, the son of Abraham. He was not the immediate son of David. He was the descendant of David, the son of David. And here he means our father, our forefather, our ancestor, Jonadab. In fact, now listen to this. Jonadab lived more than 200 years earlier. You see, Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, lived approximately 606 B.C. Jonadab lived in the days of Jehu, the king of Israel, who lived shortly after the days of Ahab. That was in 841 B.C., well over 200 years earlier. And all these years had gone by, and this family, who were now the great-great-great-great-great, or whatever they were, grandchildren of this man, were still loyal to what he had commanded them so many years earlier. There's one place in the Bible where we learn of this man Jonadab. Let's go there now. It's in 2 Kings chapter 10. 2 Kings chapter 10. We are now not in the southern kingdom of Judah. We now find ourselves in the northern kingdom of Israel. And we find this man, Jehu, verse 11. 2 Kings 10, verse 11. Jehu was a zealous man. And he had one earnest desire, to get rid of anyone belonging to the family of Ahab, that wicked king who brought Baal worship to Israel, and to get rid of any of the prophets of Baal who were still remain. In that sense, he was very zealous for the Lord. And Jehu, verse 11, slew all that remained of the house of Ahab in Jezreel, and all his great men and his kinsfolks and his priests, until he left him none remaining. That was his campaign, to get rid of these people that were of the family of Ahab. Verse 15. And when he was departed thence, still talking about King Jehu, he lighted on Jehonadab. Now that's the man. Notice it says he's the son of Rechab. That's why they're called the Rechabites. And Jehonadab, spelled slightly different, but he's the same man. Jehonadab coming to meet him, and he saluted him and said to him, here's Jehu speaking, is thine heart right as my heart is with thy heart? You get that? In other words, he's saying, listen, Jehonadab, are you with me 100% in this venture? And he said, it is. I am. I'm with you totally. When it comes to eradicating Baalism from Israel, I'm with you. When it comes to getting rid of that which is wrong, idolatry, and everything connected with it, you got my heart. I'll go with you. And we meet this man. Well, Jehu was a tricky guy in his zeal. Notice what he did, verse 18. Jehu gathered all the people together and said unto them, Ahab served Baal a little, but Jehu shall serve him much. If you think Ahab was a great Baal man, wait till you see me. I'll outdo him. Now remember, he was being a little deceitful here. Verse 19, now therefore call unto me all the prophets of Baal, all his servants and all his priests. Let none be lacking, for for I have a great sacrifice to do to Baal, and whoever shall be lacking, he shall not live. That's a good idea, isn't it? To get all the Baal people together in one place. He said, I'll have a great feast for Baal. Everyone loyal to Baal, make sure you're here. But Jehu did it in subtlety, to the intent that he might destroy the worshipers of Baal. See, the Old Testament's exciting. You read passages like this. It lives. And verse 20, and Jehu said, proclaim a solemn assembly for Baal. And they proclaimed it. And Jehu sent through all Israel, and all the worshipers of Baal came, so that there was not a man left that came not. He got them all. And they came into the house of Baal, and the house of Baal was full from one end to another. And he said unto him that was over the vestry, bring forth vestments for all the worshipers of Baal. Now, verse 23, we meet our man again. And Jehu went, and look who was right there with him. And Jehonadab the son of Rechab unto the house of Baal. And he said unto the worshippers of Baal, search and look that there be here with you none of the servants of Jehovah. You make sure there's not one servant of Jehovah in this building, but only the worshippers of Baal. Well, of course, you know what happened. And verse 28, thus Jehu destroyed Baal out of Israel. And Jehonadab was right there by his side, assisting him zealously in eradicating Baalism from Israel. That's the kind of man he was. We learn nothing more about this man until well over 200 years later. We learn something about him in Jeremiah 35. That this man had given commandments not only to his children, but to his grandchildren and those that would follow. Let's go back to that place. Jeremiah 35. Notice what he had told his children and their children to do. Number 1, verse 6, ye shall drink no wine. They were to totally abstain from wine. Not only you, but your children too. And for how long? Forever. Now these are the commandments of Jehonadab. They're not the commandments of the Lord. They're the commandments of Jehonadab, the father, the ancestor. Verse 7. Neither shall ye build house. They were to have no houses. They were to live in tents, nomadic life. Nor are you to sow seed, nor plant vineyards, nor have any. They were not to have any farms or any gardens or anything that would lock them into one location. Nothing that would tie them down to one locality. They were to be tent dwellers because they were strangers in that land. Why were these commands given? They seem a little strange. Why did Jehonadab give these commands? Well, he was concerned for the welfare of his posterity. He wanted to keep them from corruption and from luxurious living, from becoming entangled with the things of this world. And therefore, he wanted them to live a simple, uncomplicated life. He wanted to keep them away from wine, away from the cities with their corrupting influences, and to keep them from having any fixed residence. And the chief reason is, again, in verse 7, because they were strangers in the land. And Jehonadab was saying, don't ever forget it. This is not your home. You're strangers. And one of the things he said was, no wine at all. You know, when you allow a little wine, then it's easy to have a a little more. And when you have a little more, it's easy to have just a little more. And before you know it, you're caught and you're controlled by the drink. And sometimes totally abstaining from something is the safest course. Jonadab felt that this was the safest course for his family. You know, when it comes to obedience, some people foolishly try to see how close they can come to disobeying the command without disobeying it. You see, the forbidden line is drawn by God in many areas, not just this one area. Be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. The forbidden line is drawn by God and by His command, and many try to see how close they can get to that line without overstepping it. You know, to see how close I can get to the edge of the cliff without falling off it. That's not always the wisest thing to do. And Jonadab's, it's almost the attitude, how much wrong can I get away with instead of saying, how much wrong can I avoid? Jonadab's philosophy was to stay as far away from disobedience as he possibly could. And this is what he taught his children and his grandchildren. And it's amazing that these commands given by this father were honored and obeyed for over 200 years. Generation after generation after generation. Father teaching son, and father teaching son, and the son teaching his children. And they never forgot the things that Jonadab had taught them to do. That would be like people today still being loyal to commands given by one of their ancestors who lived prior to the days of the Revolutionary War. Ben Franklin's day, or even earlier. Amazing. And there are some lessons here for parents. The Rechabites faithfully taught their children. What about you? Jonadab commanded his children. Are you commanding yours in the way that they should go? From generation to generation to generation, the teaching went on. And when you read chapter 35, these Rechabites knew those commands of their ancestors. And as you read it, you think he must have been their father. They were so clear as to what he taught. They had been taught down through the years. And there's a lesson here for fathers, because Jonadab took the lead, not Mrs. Jonadab. And fathers, are you taking the spiritual lead in your home? Because under God, that's your responsibility. The Bible does not say, parents. The Bible does not say, mothers. The Bible says, fathers, bring up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Ephesians 6:4. Now, of course, fathers can delegate some of that responsibility to godly wives. But the responsibility is given by God to the father. Jonadab took the lead. And there's a lesson here for the children and young people. What commandments have your parents given to you? And are you loyal to what they've told you to do? And what about the next generation? Are you going to give your children just what your parents gave to you? Some young people have the attitude, When I'm out of the house and on my own, then I won't need to obey my parents' commands anymore. I'll be on my own. Well, the Rechabites did not feel that way. You see, Jonadab said, "You and your children are to obey these commands forever." And his children honored that and took what he said seriously. And a quarter of a millennium went by, and they were still being loyal to what that man had commanded. Well, the Rechabites were a daring people. The Rechabites, first of all, dared to be different. All the people around them were building beautiful houses, getting bigger farms, vineyards. They weren't afraid to be different from those around them. Their lifestyle was opposite and contrary to that of others. And God says to us, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. You don't have to be like everyone else. Don't let the world conform you. Let Christ transform you. Dare to be different. They did. Secondly, the Rechabites dared to maintain standards. They stood by their convictions. They were not loose about things. They were strict. They were very strict. And today, I'm sure they would be considered legalistic. They would be considered odd. They would be considered extreme. And any other name people would throw at them. But these were people that stood for something. And today, most people don't stand for much of anything. Most families don't. And they fall for almost everything. And we're seeing that in our day, a real looseness, a failure to have standards and to stand by them. On behalf of the IFCA, we have sent out 269 letters to Bible institutes, Bible colleges, and Bible seminaries throughout the country. These letters contained a 60-question questionnaire about doctrinal matters and standards and so forth. These letters are now beginning to flood back our way, the answers are. And one of the things I've noticed is that there seems to be a real trend away from certain standards that used to be true of schools. It used to be a generation or so ago that schools were, these kind of schools had standards and they stood against certain things. Certain forms of entertainment and so forth. And more as these forms are coming back, we're seeing a loosening in these areas. An allowing of certain things that once before were never allowed. Thirdly, the Rechabites dared to maintain a simple life. They did not let their life get all cluttered and complicated with the things of this world. They knew that they were strangers in the land. They probably didn't even have a TV or a VCR in their tent. They were strangers, uncomplicated, simple lifestyle. They even had time to gather around as a family and talk to each other. They even had time to share and to teach their children. They took time. They had time. They had a simple life. They knew they were strangers, and because of this, they abstained from certain things. The Apostle Peter wrote to us, church-age believers, he said, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, that you abstain from fleshly lusts that war against the soul." And you know, that simple lifestyle was honored by God, and in this sense, they were saved from two captivities. You see, when the Assyrians came into the northern kingdom and conquered the land, the Rechabites could easily, they were mobile. and they could easily migrate and move and get out of danger. And likewise, when the Babylonians came, the Babylonians carried away everyone out of the land of Judah, and only the poorest in the land were left. Guess who was among the poorest? The Rechabites in their little tents. They were allowed to stay in the land of their fathers. They were poor but rich in many ways. God honored this family. He honored them because of their loyalty. Now, this does not mean that God condemns every person who lives in a house or has a farm or a garden. God is not saying that everyone must be under Jonadab's rules and regulations. But God honored these people because they were loyal to their forefather, and God used their example of loyalty to give a message to the entire southern kingdom of Judah. God used the Rechabites to rebuke and to put to shame his people. Verse 12. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Go and tell the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, Now's the message for everyone. Will you not receive instruction to hearken to my words, saith the Lord? The words of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, that he commanded his sons not to drink wine, are performed. For unto this day, over 200 years later, they drink none, but obey their father's commandment. Notwithstanding, I have spoken unto you. Notice the contrast. I've spoken unto you, God himself, rising early and speaking, but ye hearken not unto me. I have sent also unto you all my servants the prophets, rising up early, sending them, saying, Return ye now every man from his evil way, and amend your doings, and go not after other gods to serve them. And ye shall dwell in the land which I have given to you and your fathers. But you have not inclined your ear, nor hearkened unto me. There's a great contrast between the Rechabites' obedience and Judah's disobedience. They faithfully obeyed a mere man, and yet Judah refused to obey God himself. Jonadab commanded his children and grandchildren just once over 200 years earlier, and they were still obeying. God gave his commandments to the people of Judah over and over and over again. He sent prophet after prophet, and yet they disobeyed. Jonadab was only one man. Judah had man after man after man sent to them with God's message, and they did not hearken. What a contrast. And therefore, a curse is put on Judah, and blessing is put upon the Rechabites. That's how the chapter ends, with a curse upon Judah and a promise of judgment and a blessing upon the Rechabites. Let's look first at the curse. Verse 16, Because the sons of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, have performed the commandment of their father, which he commanded them, but, contrast, this people hath not hearkened unto me. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, Behold, I will bring upon Judah and upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem all the evil that I have pronounced against them. Nebuchadnezzar, go to it. Because I have spoken unto them, but they have not heard, and I have called unto them, but they have not answered. God's curse upon Judah and the promise of judgment. And if we could take those verses and put them into the language of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, you would have something like this. Woe unto you, people of Judah, for the Rechabites shall rise up in the day of judgment against you, because they hearkened to their father Jonadab, and behold, a greater than Jonadab is here, and you refused to hearken unto me. So God rebuked and brought conviction and shame to the people of Judah by using the noble example of this family clan. And then he turns in blessing to the Rechabites. In verse 18, Jeremiah said unto the house of the Rechabites, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, because you have obeyed the commandment of Jonadab your father, and kept all his precepts, and done according to all that he hath commanded you, therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel," here's the blessing, "Jonadab the son of Rechab shall not lack a man to stand before me forever." He will not lack a man to serve the true God forever. How loyal are you to God and to the commands which he has given to you? How loyal are you to those who are in authority over you, placed there by God? I'd like to look at two places in closing. Luke. They're both in Luke. Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. And verse 27, "And it came to pass, as he spoke these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, Blessed is the womb that bare thee and the paps which thou hast sucked. How blessed is Mary, the mother of the Lord." No, that's not so. Mary was blessed, but so are many others. He said, he corrected her. Verse 28, he said, "Yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it." The Rechabites heard the word of their ancestor and they kept it. They were loyal. We need to hear the word of our God and keep it. Luke chapter 8, back up, and verse 20. Luke chapter 8, verse 20. "And it was told him by certain which said, Thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to see thee. And he answered and said unto them, My mother and my brethren are these." Who are those who are really close to me, closely related to me? They are those who hear the word of God and do it. Well, that sounds quite easy. That's all you have to do, just hear the word of God and do it. But you know, there's a cost to obedience, even as we've seen this morning. Are you willing to pay the price? Are you willing to be different? Because if you're going to faithfully, loyally obey the word of God, you can be sure that you'll be different from the majority of those around you. Are you willing to be different? Are you willing to not be conformed to the world and be transformed by Christ? Are you willing to maintain standards and to stand firmly for that which is right? And to stay as far away as possible from disobedience? There's a cost. Are you willing to pay the price? And are you willing to live as a stranger whose home this world is not? Blessed, happy are those who hear the word of God and do it. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank you for this lesson on loyalty this morning from thy word. And we pray that in this assembly there would be those dedicated believers who are loyal to their God and obedient to His commandments, who will faithfully teach their children also. And Father, we would ask that each of us might be willing to pay the price of obedience, to dare to be different, to dare to maintain standards. And Father, we pray that you might deal with each of our hearts, convict us where needed, that we might be loyal to our God and to His Word. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.